comes down to the person's mentality as well. I'm a very future driven person. So I tend to solve problems there and then I don't let it get to me. Like there's always problems, even in day-to-day life, with taking business aside. There's no point stressing about something that's just going to solve itself or going to be fixed in the future.
Welcome to A Table for Two, inspiring and educational interviews and stories with the best operators, owners, and entrepreneurs in business and the hospitality industry. My name is Phil Harlani, and on today's episode, we chat to Johnny Massad, owner of the very popular Cake Mail. When Johnny couldn't get a job at KFC at the age of 17, he decided to take matters into his own hands and start his own business from his garage while still at high school, called Sugar High. Sugar High focused on creating custom cakes, and although things were going great, he knew he was capped with how many cakes he could make in a week. He decided he wanted his business to grow. He leased a warehouse, changed his business strategy, and changed the name of his business to Cake Mail, a business that produces amazing cakes that blew up on social media. Cakes that could be ordered and delivered the same day. A business now that has two locations in Sydney and Melbourne can also be delivered Australia-wide. Since opening, he has seen many copycat businesses, but Johnny has continued to be the leader in the market and constantly evolving his brand. He has since opened Balloon Mail and Tidbit Snacks. It's crazy to think everything Johnny has achieved, and he is only 24 years old. Listening to Johnny's story and journey, I was blown away with his confidence and ability to create brands and ideas without worrying about the negatives. Alrighty, so we got Johnny Massad with us from Cake Mail. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I've heard you on a couple of different podcasts, obviously Jay Phantom. That was the first time I heard your story, and obviously I've read about you through magazines and articles, and I find your story very special because one of the first things I heard was you tried to get a part-time job at KFC at the age of 17 while you're still at school. That didn't work out. So you decided to start your own business, which was Sugar High Desserts.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Correct, yeah.
Now, the great thing about that is so many great entrepreneurs start with either a rejection or they see a gap in the market. Talk to us about that journey of when you got rejected from KFC, you said, hey, I want to do my own thing now.
I think when I got rejected, it was a big, not so wake up call, but more of a drive or a motivation push for me to go out and do something. And in that moment, getting rejected was probably really, it was probably one of the worst things that happened to me, but it was probably the best thing to happen to me because if that didn't happen, I probably would have not started my business. So it gave me a big push to go out and do something for myself.
That's amazing. And obviously the business started out as Sugar High Desserts.
Yeah.
Talk to us about the transition from when you started Sugar High Desserts, what it was, and then why you decided Cake Mail.
So Sugar High Desserts is pretty much was a scaled down version of Cake Mail. It's essentially was just me in the kitchen taking a couple orders a week. While I was still at school. Okay. Yeah. And in essence, there was no real way to grow it past what it was because it was literally a one-man show and the model just wasn't scalable. But from being in that business for so many years, I learned that people wanted cakes quick. And they wanted them at an affordable price and they wanted them delivered. So I took those, multiple things and made Cake Mail from there.
So, but I mean, at the age of 17, you're talking about scale and growth and you're talking way beyond your years. So you're obviously very mature from a young age. Who was kind of guiding you with this stuff? When you started making cakes, what was it? Was it just the demand got so big?
Yeah. I think it's hard because I've been in a very business-driven family, so we all kind of bounce off each other. So I think from the get-go, I was always business-minded and I always wanted to know how can we expand and how can we push.
Okay. So Sugar High Desserts was custom orders, a couple a week, and then you said, all right, what's the next step now is we want to sell bulk?
Yeah.
Talk to us about that process.
Yeah. Well, a main thing that pushed us to sell bulk was that I had to get out of home because we were literally making everything from home.
Okay. So like most businesses
So moving to a warehouse, that brought a lot of,
overheads?
Overheads, yeah. So, I had no choice but to make more revenue to cover the rent.
So it was a necessity.
So out of that, we had to also start it just so we get more orders, just so we cover the rent.
Mm. And what was that like going from home to, a home business, couple of orders to you get into this warehouse, you realize, hey, I need to spend a lot more money. I need to make a lot more money to cover my costs. Yeah. What was that feeling like?
It's an overwhelming feeling, but it was also very motivating because once you have that feeling of I need to do something, you're kind of forced to do everything you can to make up for it. Yeah, that makes sense.
And so when you get in the warehouse and you're obviously, like you said, your family is obviously very business minded. So was it because you'd done so much at a young age? Was it the support of them, the mentorship of your family that helped you kind of like keep things going?
Yeah, for sure, yeah. For sure. But it was also like, because my mom is traditional Arab, lawyer, doctor. You hear all those stories. So it wasn't like she was always saying, you know, you're going to do this. You're not doing this for the rest. She was always saying, you can't do this for the rest of your life. It's a side hustle, this and that. So her saying that as well kind of pushed me to also want to keep going. Mm. And now she realizes that, you know, this is my career. This is my future. And it can be. It doesn't have to be a traditional lawyer, doctor, etc.
Of course, yeah. And so obviously they see you now, they must be very proud looking at what you've built. And are they involved with the business, your family?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, it's funny you say that. So during COVID, a lot of my family had lost their job, unfortunately, because COVID. So I took a lot of them on here and it was kind of a big family thing. So it's kind of a family-run business now, so to
That's
speak.
Beautiful, man.
And even my grandmother works for me. My mum does all the accounting, the paperwork, she's an accountant. So yeah, everyone kind of plays a role. Even my sister, she does a lot of marketing because she's in that world. So
yeah,
it's kind of all worked hand in hand.
It's really special. So very close.
Yeah,
and everyone
yeah. Well, we've got a very tight bond.
But you're the one that kind of leads the vision.
Yeah.
Nice, man. So talk to me about where the creativity comes from. Like you said, you know, at a young age, you tried to get a job, you got rejected at a KFC job. Where does the creativity come from where you come into this warehouse that we're in now and you start building this business? What was it? Like, how is it just natural for you? Is it something you've always been creative?
I think I've always been creative, but I think I've always liked being different and seeing different things. Yeah. I'm very against replication and duplicating other people's works and products. Mm. I think, and especially from a business sense, if you offer the same thing as everyone else, why are you going to stand out? And I think that's our main strategy, is that we were the first ever same day cake delivery in Sydney, number one. And our designs and the cakes, like, you know, the ooze cake, the fountain cake, et cetera, we were the ones to create that. I think that's why a lot of customers choose us first, is because of that.
You're the OG.
Yeah.
It's funny. I actually got a couple of questions I want to ask you more about, you know, copycats and people that have, I mean, you're the trendsetter and people want to follow. And I think it's great because you constantly do evolve. So we'll get to that in a sec. What was the sugar high desserts to cake mail? Like, was there a reason why you decided to change that?
Yeah. As I said, it was more so we needed to boost production. But I also really wanted to automate the business because Sugar High was a lot of person-to-person customer service. Like it was back and forth because it was customized cakes. Whereas Cake Mail is so automated that you literally just have to go on a website, pick a pre-selected design and put your address in and the cake's at your house. So it's, you know, a lot quicker and it allows us to sell the cake for a lot less because of that service is taken away.
Yeah, so you get in here, you start the business Cake Mail, you change the name. You start delivering and obviously your business has grown. It's a massive business at the moment. Talk to us about, I mean, from a young age, running a business like this, like getting into a warehouse and understanding logistics, understanding warehouse operations. Can you talk to us about the process?
Yeah.
I have no idea about warehouses. So I want to know about when you got in here, how did you start that journey about all right, getting this business up and running?
Yeah, it's a nightmare, number one. Moving into a warehouse is not what everyone, you know, thinks it's going to be. There's a lot of hidden things that like, this wasn't our first warehouse either. We've had about 3 or 4 warehouses now. And like the first warehouse we had was pretty much, like there was no parking. And when you have drivers coming to pick up cakes, where the hell are they going to park? You know, no one tells you about all these council fees you've got to pay. You have to have your own recycling bin. You've got to, and I know it's basic stuff, but you don't actually realize until you get into it.
Yeah, a lot of little basic stuff, right?
You know, you need to have your kitchen approved. You need to have, you know, there's so many different elements to it. And then, you know, and the problem with that is the fees and, but it's also the freedom. And working in your own warehouse compared to working at your house, you get a lot more freedom. And then another problem we had is that we kept outgrowing our warehouse. So we had to move and then we had to move again, but then we got stuck in our lease because you couldn't move until your lease was finished. So it's a kind of hit and miss, but I guess once you find your feet, it's straightforward. Yeah.
It's funny. There's this kind of thing where at the time you think, oh my God, like this, there's these new problems. We've got to pay for this. So we didn't know about this, cancel this. But then you get through that, there's a new problem, but it's kind of like you've become resilient to the problems that are built, right?
And let me tell you, there's always a new problem. Just when you think your list is finished and all your problems are solved, there will be another problem.
Yeah, 100%.
Your problems never finish.
Yeah, totally. And so talk to me about the logistics of, I mean, you're delivering hundreds and hundreds of cakes at a time. I'm sure busy period, thousands of cakes at a time. How does that I mean, for someone that obviously started, you know, boutique and then went to mass, how does that work? What does the logistics look like?
So at the start, it was a nightmare. Number one, everything at the start was a nightmare. And the main issue we had was sending out cakes with couriers, so external couriers. And with that, you have a lot of complaints such as they don't care. Anyone that takes your cake, a lot of people don't care. They just want to get the job done. They want to get paid. So they don't care if the cake gets thrown around. They don't care if they're flying over speed bumps. You know, generally, that's what the problem was.
Massive problem.
Or some drivers didn't rock up, or some drivers didn't deliver some of the cakes because they didn't want to work anymore. Like, so there's a lot of problems like that. So we came to the conclusion that we had to have our own in-staff drivers, and that was the best way forward. And from that, that's how we've kind of managed it. And a lot of companies don't do that. But for us, it's the most manageable way. And it's probably a bit more expensive, but for us, we know they're going to rock up every time and they're always going to deliver our cake in one piece.
Yeah, well, I didn't know you guys have all your drivers, most of your drivers in-house.
Yeah.
And obviously that way you can control the quality and the culture within that team.
And we need to. It's not like it's a PO parcel box thing that can get thrown around. It's a cake.
Of course, yeah. So, I mean, at your busiest period, how many drivers would you have within your company?
Like during COVID, we probably had over 100 drivers each day.
Wow.
It was crazy. And you had to manage each driver. So every day you'd have we had to have 10 different drivers and you'd have to train them. You'd have to know, you know, what to say, how to use the tracking services, et cetera. So it's, yeah.
What was that during COVID, the busiest period? What was that like for you mentally?
COVID, I have never seen and I probably will never ever see our business like that. Like it was the craziest thing. Never in my wildest dreams would I think I would see that amount of orders go out every day. Like it was, there was just cake everywhere. And you,
I feel
it. I can't explain COVID. COVID was something else. And, you know, we're grateful for it. Because of that, our business skyrocketed and we've maintained a lot of the customers during that time. But yeah, I don't have words for it.
Was it a lot of stress during COVID for yourself?
Look, there was 10 new problems every day. And there was things that would happen and, you know, new staff and this and that. But we got through it. We got through it. But your business is never going to run 100% smooth.
So true.
Otherwise, everyone would be doing it.
That's a very good point. And that confidence that you have, that energy that you have, do you think it's just because, you know, you started at a young age? A lot of people say, if I knew what I knew now about my journey at the start, I probably wouldn't have started. And do you think it's just because you're so young, you're still very young, 24?
Yeah, 24.
Yeah. And I think because you're so young, is it just that confidence you have that, hey, there's a problem, we'll deal with it?
Yeah. I think it comes down to the person's mentality as well. I'm a very future-driven person, so I tend to solve problems there and then I don't let it get to me. Like there's always problems, even in day-to-day life, taking business aside. There's no point stressing about something that's just going to solve itself or going to be fixed in the future.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of great advice people can take listening to this, because I think that's the thing. There's always going to be a problem, personally, business. Yeah. Whatever, but you just got to learn how to find a way to deal with it and move on. So, going back to logistics, we were getting a delivery once and we missed the cutoff. So, we needed an Uber driver to pick up the donuts we were getting and drop them off to our shop. Halfway through the delivery, it just canceled the order. They had the donuts.
Oh, and they stole them.
They just canceled it. Yeah. I couldn't do any. Uber wouldn't respond. Yeah. And I was just like, that's one customer, one order.
Yeah.
And I have so much respect for people in this industry because a lot of the power is taken out of your control. So, obviously, the fact that now you have your own drivers makes a big difference, right?
Yeah. But even with that, I guess we've also learned to lose the emotion, especially me, to my business, because you're always going to have unhappy customers. So if you sit there and dwell into that issue, it's just going to beat you up.
Do you think, how long did that take for you to kind of, that personal attachment, that emotional attachment, and all businesses are different, but did it take you a while to get rid of that, like to stop?
Yeah. And it still gets to me a little bit, but it's more so not as much.
Yeah, okay. What do you think that is? Why, like, what's been the change for you to be able to kind of not let go, but
be freer? I think when you in your business for so long, you kind of teach yourself that there is always going to be issues and complaints and problems. So you kind of just become immune to it.
Yeah, of course. I love that. Man, I love the attitude and the mentality towards it. Obviously, your business has grown over time. How many staff do you have now, like essentially within the company? And then obviously you got drivers on top of that.
Yeah. Well, so we're operating in Sydney and we've also got Melbourne base as well. So the number changes every day because we get drivers every day, we get workers every day, but it's probably generally around 70.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so you got your Melbourne office.
Yeah.
How have you been able to maintain? Was Melbourne office purely just out of the fact that you needed, there was such a high demand there and you needed to open there?
We had a lot of customers saying, do you deliver to Melbourne? Do you deliver to Melbourne? And Melbourne's actually quite a funny story because we only opened up Melbourne 2 years ago. And when I opened up Melbourne, it was actually, so when I flew to Melbourne, it was during COVID. So I set up Melbourne during COVID and it was like the perfect storm. Because when we opened, we sold out every single day for the next 9 months because they had the longest COVID lockdown ever. So it was literally perfect timing for us.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, going from one warehouse to two warehouses, managing two teams, like talk to us about that process and the challenges there.
Yeah. It's hard. And once again, if business was easy, everyone would be doing it.
Yeah.
And you're always going to have problems. But I think with having multiple warehouses, what I've learned is that managers in both states need to have someone to report to before they report to you. Because you don't want to be hearing problems because there's always problems every day. You need them to report to someone else and then they need to report to you.
Correct. That's cool. And so you got Sydney now, you got Melbourne.
Yeah.
What's the plan? Like for Cake Mail itself, what's the plan there?
Yeah. Look, we actually trialed a Brisbane and Gold Coast base as well, just to see. And we've came to the conclusion that it's kind of not the best thing for us. I think the demographic there is a bit different to what we've got here. But we've recently opened up a delivery route to Wollongong. So that was the another push for us. But now what we're kind of focusing on is wholesaling. So it's a different aspect, different customer completely, because there's only so many birthdays. Because at the end of the day, we're a birthday service and there's only going to be so many birthdays on one day that we can target.
So, and obviously you guys are mainly targeting birthday celebration, all that kind of thing. And you're talking about going into wholesale. What does it look like? What does your strategy look like? Like, I mean, are you sitting there thinking we want to, you obviously trialed Brisbane, Gold Coast, didn't work. Wholesale is the next route. What's your strategy with that, with growth?
Yeah. Look, we just wing it. I'm not going to lie. I left uni. I haven't had a job. I've never been employed anywhere. So I'm just winging it. Is my answer. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And it's a lot of trial and error and eventually we work it out. So
I love that and I love the honesty because I think a lot of people always never want to make it look as if they're winging it. But I mean, you are winging it and you're doing amazing.
I wing the whole business. like it takes a little bit of brains, don't get me wrong. Course, but it's more so, I don't know.
So you said that you finished high school, went to uni, but you dropped out of uni?
I dropped out of uni after 2 years.
Why? What was the reason?
I initially never wanted to go to uni. I had my business at the time. So I'm like, what do I need uni for? My Arab mother wanted me to go to uni.
Of course, yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? I'll go. I'll try it. Maybe I'll actually go and learn something about business that can help me grow my business.
How far were you in with Cakey at that point?
The first year I went to uni was the first year I started Cake Mail. Okay. So I'm like, maybe you can actually help me. And the first 2 years of uni, I did not learn one thing that benefited me and my business at all. Wow. And I think the one thing that I learned about uni is that universities teach you, and the way the system is designed, it teaches you how to work for other people and never to make it out on your own.
Yeah, wow. And so that eye-opener, seeing that and understanding, hey, this is not for me, you decided to drop out?
Well, the reason I had dropped out was at the time I had opened up Melbourne. So I actually deferred.
Okay, originally.
And then when I saw Melbourne take off, I'm like, this is serious now. What am I wasting my time at uni when I could be focusing on growing the business?
Of course,
So I left. I didn't tell my mum. My mum found out 2 years later. She was pissed off, but I'm like, you actually don't have a reason to be pissed off at the moment.
Of course, I think the worry from our parents comes from they started with nothing or came from overseas.
Yeah.
And I think they just want us, they think education is the best way to make sure we're secure. But
yeah, it's an old school mentality.
Absolutely, yeah. So obviously you probably get a lot of people asking for advice about going to uni or starting their own business. What kind of advice would you give them if they're coming to you and saying, hey, like, I want to start my own business. What do you recommend?
It depends, man. I was pretty lucky because when I went to uni, I already had my business established. So I started younger. But if I put myself back into when I was 18-year-old, if I didn't have my own business, it's a bit different. So, and it's a lot harder to make it now compared to 5-6 years ago because it's an ever-changing dynamic. And there's so many more people making businesses. And this and that. So I guess it depends. But if you have a killer product and a killer idea, but also a killer drive, go for it.
Yeah, I love that. And you're 100% right. I think the passion will overcome anything like you said, the passion and the product or the service that you're offering. So you obviously, your products, the one thing I love about Cake Mail is you're constantly always popping up on my Instagram. Doesn't matter which Instagram page I'm on, it's always on there. So your marketing is obviously right. Your advertising is right. How do you come up with the ideas and the marketing like behind? Is that mainly you or do you have a team? Like, yeah. How does that work?
So at first it was me. Like, so I've pretty much done every single role in this business. So, and two, I think the role is enough to pass on to someone else.
Nice.
So I pretty much work into that role. But at the moment we've got a good marketing team. And as I said, we winged it. And we've learned one aspect at a time. Like I taught Facebook ads myself. I taught Google ads to myself. I taught Instagram advertising to myself. Every little aspect which I taught. And now I teach it to the person doing the marketing. But now we have a good creative team and we just throw ideas at each other. But I think the main important thing in marketing is that you need that passion for the business. If you don't love the business, yeah. You can't promote it. How are you going to make someone else love the business if you don't love it?
If you don't believe in it and back it, yeah. So you obviously got the products that are constantly changing. I mean, do you have a food chef that's kind of constantly coming up with different ideas? Or is that you again?
Me, but it's also a lot of people in the team.
Okay,
so cool. We kind of just throw stuff at each other.
And so where do you get your inspiration from when you're creating a new product or a new brand?
Yeah, look, I tend to travel a lot. So I see a lot of ideas overseas. So that tends to help because a lot of, like overseas is generally much further ahead than we are, especially in Asian countries. So we tend to get a lot of ideas like that. And then you got like social media, you see stuff as inspiration. So we kind of pull aspects from everywhere and just kind of make something.
Yeah, I love that. And you obviously, since then, you've started two other businesses, which is Balloon Mail.
Yeah.
And is it Tidbit Snacks?
Yeah.
Snacks?
Yeah.
Talk to us about what the idea, why you started those and how's it going?
Yeah. I think with Balloon Mail, we started it because we wanted to give our customers another option. Because eventually, how many times is someone going to send someone a cake? So like, hey, why don't you send something different? Or you can add a balloon to your thing. So that's kind of why Balloon Mail works hand in hand with Cake Mail. Tidbits is another little venture I've started recently and we're still pushing it. But Tidbits is, it's a more of a health solution. But I think the main thing that I've learned on my personal fitness journey is that I want to eat whatever I want, whenever I want, but I want it to be good for me. So Tidbits gives you, you know, indulgent snacks that are actually good for you that you don't have to feel bad about.
So you're still giving them snacks like a cake, but a healthy version.
Essentially. But like it's, for example, we've got like a Biscoff protein ball. So it's got all your macros, your protein, it's really good for you. Don't get me wrong. But it gives you that indulgent aspect.
It's amazing how when you're passionate, you obviously were talking off air about, you know, you're really into your training now and you're eating and it's amazing how sometimes that gets mixed and you create a business through the passion for that, right?
But I don't think you should start a business unless you have a passion for it. Because a lot of people start a business for the wrong reason, is to make money. But if you don't have passion for it, how are you going to wake up every day and have the drive to go and do this and everything it takes for that business to be successful?
So true. We keep talking about passion and you're right. The passion comes from doing what you want, being passionate about it, overcoming any obstacle. And then you get to the point where you're like, hey, there's an issue, but let's get through it.
Yeah.
Right. So one thing I really want to talk about since Cake Mail, I didn't really see any business like yours before you started.
Yeah.
Since Cake Mail, there's been a million different businesses open. How do you feel when you see someone?
Okay. This is a good question. And I get asked it a lot. And I think at the start, me personally, are not attacked, but it's more so far out. Like you get cut. And I think it comes because you've put all this effort and work and passion and love into your business for someone just to copy and paste it in 1 second, it's a shit go.
Yeah.
But I think as it kept happening and happening and happening, you get immune to it, number one. But also now it's a little bit flattering because it's kind of like you're an inspiration to other people.
Yeah.
And I think if you connect yourself that deep to your business and you get emotional over every time someone copies you, you don't win. You're actually letting them win.
You're letting them win.
And there's a piece of business for everyone. Like, you know, everyone can succeed in their own way.
That's such a mature answer because, like I said, when you're young, the emotion, but then as you get older, you start realizing, hey, it's a compliment. They're looking up to me and they're copying. But how do you stay ahead of the game? Because there's so many opening.
As I said, we keep innovating. And unfortunately, as we keep innovating, they keep imitating. So there's a line, but you just got to stay on top of it. And it's going to keep happening. Like recently, we had a business that copied our complete website, terms and conditions, didn't even change the ABN number, FAQs, everything, to the point where we had to actually send them a cease and desist because it was that bad because customers are calling us saying, hey, can we order a cake, blah, 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 blah. Do you have this cake? And we're like, we don't sell these cakes. So they were getting confused. So I think there's a certain line. And
I mean, when you start copying the website and the page,
yeah,
the,
there's a line. Get to a point. There's a line.
But like you said, it's so flattering that people are looking at you saying, this is the leader I want to keep copying and following. Do you have any plans to open overseas? Open?
Yeah. Look, we've had a lot of interest in franchising and people wanting to buy the name because we own the name. Yeah. So I've actually brought trademarks for overseas. For future plans, who knows? But it's always there if I want it. But it just sounds like it's so, even though it's not, such a far away mission to get to. I don't know. Like it's a hard thing to say.
Well, I mean, that's another thing as well. When you're doing really well, the opportunities are jumping at you, right?
Yeah.
So how do you learn to say no to opportunities?
And this is the problem. The type of person I am is I'm very content with what I've got. I'm not greedy. Not in a bad way, but I'm not greedy in terms of I want to keep going more and more and more. I'm very content with what I've got. So I tend to kind of keep what I've got and be happy with it.
Okay. Is that because you want to kind of have the balance between lifestyle and work? And is it that so beautiful that you got that contentment, but also when you see these opportunities jump at you, what is it, why is it that you're, I mean, it's beautiful that you're content, but is it, you don't want to take over the world because you know it's going to take over your social life? What is it, what's the reason for that?
I think social life, number one. But I think because I'm so content with what I've got, I don't have that much more drive to keep going because I've already feel like I've achieved what I wanted to achieve.
Yeah, wow.
That's
really cool. Yeah. I love, like I said, the confidence, but also you're not greedy. You're not trying to get a piece of everything, you know? So for an average day for yourself, like, you know, now that you've kind of got your business up and running, a few different businesses, what does the average day look like for you in regards to work and personal?
Yeah. Look, it's very mixed. Every day is a different day. And it used to be, and I've had my moments with this business where I've been here every day, like during COVID, or I haven't been here for 4 months straight. Yeah, well. So it's got a balance. But now I've kind of balanced it in a way where I try to come here 2 to 3 times a week just so I can monitor what's going on.
Yeah.
But generally with that, besides coming here, fitness is number one for me and social life. Like, and I try to balance it.
Good on you, man. And is it, do you struggle to find the balance? Or, I mean, you said that you go from one period where you might be here all the time. And what is it that makes you stay away from the business at months at a time? Is it just because you kind of go through a bit of a lull?
I had that phase where I'm like, I don't want to work anymore.
Yeah.
But then I realized I'm bored. What am I doing?
So true.
All my mates are working. Like, what am I going to do? So it's kind of, it's balance.
Yeah. No, that's cool. Well, obviously we still got questions, but we're wrapping up as like more shorter questions and answers. But How many cakes do you think on an average over the year would you sell a week, you reckon?
It's always mixed. And I don't even have the answer for you because I've got no idea. But it's always mixed. But
enough to hire 70 people and
exactly. Yeah.
That's amazing. And so for you, if I said to you in 10 years' time, you know, where does Johnny want to be? What does that look like?
I don't know, because I actually haven't painted that picture because for me, personally, which I'm very proud of, I've achieved my 10-year goal from when I set it 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard to reset another goal. But yeah, like I said, I just take each day by day and little things happen. Like as I said, we're focusing on a new wholesaling part of the business. So hopefully that's the next part of our business.
You've obviously got a lot of maturity and you obviously got that confidence, but is there anyone other than your family that you credit a big part of the reason why you're doing well? Do you credit for your success? Like, is there any, do you have mentors or do you read books or podcast? Like, where are you at with that?
See, so I'm very untraditional. I've never read a book. I don't listen to podcasts. I don't know. For me, I'm a very mental person. Like, I just go and I do what feels good and what feels right.
Wow. And so with that, does that frustrate your team? Because you're kind of usually just winging it, like you said, right? So when there's ideas and options and opportunities, is it one of those things where you come in, you work it out at the time and then go from there?
Yeah, it's hard because everyone comes up with all these other ideas and if I don't see it, it's like they're not happy. You know what I mean? Yeah, like it's hard. Yeah, but like I'm slowly learning that other people's opinions can benefit your business as well. Mm. It's hard to kind of give someone the reins of your own business when you've bred it and you've nurtured it for 6-7 years. Do you know what I mean?
And with a business that you love so much that you started from scratch, is it, you know, I listen to this podcast with Mike Boris and he always says you got to have an exit plan, an exit strategy, sell the business. Is that something that
I thought about it. 100% I thought about it. And we've had offers and we've had opportunities. And it's like, I feel like if no money in the world can give you happiness, if this was taken away from me, like the business is not, so to speak, here for me to work. It's just, it's something to talk about. It's something to be proud about. It's like, it's mine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like giving your child away. 100%. And for me, like, taking any amount of money for that wouldn't give me the same happiness as keeping it would be.
It's amazing because some people obviously open to yeah. get ready for yeah. sale, right? Yeah. But this is part of this business is part of yeah. like you said, who you are. Yeah. So it's very special. What you know, we obviously talk about success and obviously on the outside it looks like Johnny's got it all figured out and everything's amazing. But mental health probably doesn't get talked about a lot. If you're in a position where I mean, have you ever been in a position where you've struggled in business and in life? And if so, like, have you been able to get through that? How did you get through that? Sorry. And any advice for people struggling with mental health in business?
Yeah. Look, mental health is a big part. And I've gone through a lot of things with mental health. But I think with business especially, you've got to take it day by day. And a lot of people tend to find that work-life balance very hard. They don't know how to put themselves before their business or vice versa. So that's like number one. But I think, I don't know, mental health is such a broad issue. So it's each person individually, but I think talking to other people, getting people's advices, things like that kind of helped me a lot as well. Yeah. And having a good supporting family friend network is number one.
Having good people around you yeah. that support you. Yeah. So yeah, you're 100% right. It's such a wide talking topic, yeah. but it's also so different. Every person's suffering yeah. in a different way, right? Yeah. So, and so someone comes up to you and says, hey, I want to start my own business. You've already spoken about passion. And if, you know, if I want to start my own business, you've got to be passionate about what you do. What's another piece of advice you give them if they want to start their own business?
I think be different. Number one, don't go doing a drop shipping product that 10 million other people are doing. And in fact, I think stay away from drop shipping because drop shipping is such a short-term thing. I think have a product that a customer will buy more than once. So for us, we have lifetime customers because there is always a birthday. Our customer orders a birthday cake every year. They have a birthday every year. So there's a repeat purchasing behavior. So whatever you do, have something that a customer is going to buy more than once because it's so easy for them to buy again as opposed to advertise to 20 new people to convince them to buy your product yeah. for the first time.
Loyalty, returning yeah. customer, right? And how much is that guest experience like? When you're building a product and then you obviously webs from creating a product to delivering to the door, how much goes into the guest experience for the person ordering?
Yeah. Look, I think for us, our service replaces the traditional going to a cake shop, buying your cake, taking it home. That was the main service for our customer. But I think now, so to speak, the whole customer journey from when they buy their cake to the whole tracking service, what time is their cake coming to, how the cake tastes, is all very important.
Yeah, it's the from start to finish, the yeah. process has to
and
be.
And even afterwards, after they've eaten their cake, what marketing strategy are you putting afterwards to make sure they were happy and that they're going to buy your cake again?
So what do you do for a customer? Is they bought a cake now, they finished it. Is there something where they go online, leave a review? Like how does
yeah,
that
so we've got a review system. They get emailed like, you know, leave us a review, blah, blah, yeah. blah. And then they also, so depending on how many cakes, what did they get into like a loyal customer marketing strategy that we've got? Which is a few little aspects. So there's like a Facebook ad that targets them based on how many orders that they've got. We've got an email strategy. If they've ordered more than a couple of cakes, we actually give them like a discount code. So little things like that to kind of show that we appreciate their loyalty and support.
What business do you look at? And I know you're very different and like I said, very confident, very yeah. different in the way you think, but what business do you look at and say, I don't want to be like them, but I'm very inspired by them?
Yeah. Oh, look, there's a couple. And I tend to only look within our industry because they're the ones who I can relate to.
Okay.
But Roses and Co, the way what they've done and the scale that they've done is amazing.
Yeah. And is that something that scale and obviously you grew from sugar high desserts to cake mail, but is that growth? Are you ready for that next push of growth?
Yes and no. But as I said, out of everything I've said, it's
to go with the flow.
I just go with the flow. I just go with the flow. Like Roses only, what they've done is incredible. Yeah. And they've managed to reach every single state, every single city, which was a goal of mine. But then it's like, do I really want to reach every single state yeah. franchise and give partnerships away and become a corporate company? And that's one thing I've always been against of is at the moment, like we are a little family here, but for us to become a big corporate giant, I'm so against yeah. because I hate that traditional spreadsheet, this and this stuff. I hate it. And it's not my world and I haven't come from it.
Well, it's not your world and it also changes who you are as a person. Yeah. And yeah, I have to start doing things according to, yeah. to the corporate style. So if you had to look at everything that you've done, you've achieved since you started Sugar High Desserts to today, what's the one thing you're most proud of?
Well, never been asked that one before. I think I'm proud of the business in general. And it's hard to pinpoint one thing because it's a lot of those things that have made the business what it is today. But I'm proud of how far the business has come and how many customers and returning customers that we've got. Like that's it. And for us to have that many customers, it's you know, it's very hard to achieve.
Yeah.
And I see a lot of new businesses start out and they only get one or two customers a day. But so to see how it's grown has been, you know, I've been very proud of it.
I need to ask the growth, you know, a lot of people try to start this business, especially after you started. What do you think gave you the biggest push for your growth?
Yeah, 100% our product, the uniqueness of our product, the uniqueness of our marketing, and the uniqueness of our service. Like it's a lot of things done at once and done right all together. Yeah. That all kind of works together.
Yeah, your social media, obviously, like I said, always popping up. What's your strategy? Obviously, we talk about influencers.
Yeah.
That's happening a lot now. So when you see everyone, every influencer now, every product they get, what's the next step for you? What do you look like? All right, how do we keep stay relevant on social media? Is it creating a product that is very Instagrammable?
That was our strategy was nobody, like basically it was a thing to have a cake mail cake on your birthday and put it up on your story. That was a thing. If you didn't have a cake mail cake on your birthday, you weren't eat. Like that was pretty much, we were the Louis Vuitton of cakes. And I guess we still kind of have that image. That's why a lot of people choose us because we have that image and perception in the marketplace. So that's what we kind of roll with. So that's why our influencer strategy, even though we send to influencers and other companies send to influencers, the perception and, you know, look of our product trumps theirs every day.
Yeah. So even though they're getting, and they're obviously going to be selective with who they choose. So if they get five different cake companies, they're obviously going to go with you because of the way it looks and the branding and obviously the mass following. So, and with all the algorithms changing and things like that, like how have you been able to stay on top of that? Because obviously some pages just, I mean, our personal business page, like it just.
There's a new update every day.
Yeah. So do you have a team that deals with that?
Yeah, so we've got our marketing team does on top of it. But it is, it's hard because there's a new update every day. And that's not just Facebook, TikTok, there's a new update. Instagram, there's a new feature, there's this and that. So you got to stay on top of it.
Stay on top, yeah. And what's the one thing you want a customer to say after they've received your product or eating your product?
Yum. Like, yeah, that's probably the most important thing. If your cake does not taste good, you're not going to order it again.
Yeah. And so, I mean, I just want to ask a little bit about logistics side of things. When you went from doing a couple a week to hundreds a week and thousands a week, do you have your own bakery team that are just pumping out cakes all day?
Yeah.
And
essentially.
Obviously there's one style, there's 10 styles, but you're just pumping out hundreds of them.
Yeah, essentially. Amazing. Yeah. So it's kind of just bulk production. Yeah.
That's amazing. Now, I got one more question, but before I ask you the final question, is there anything you want to add to this podcast that if you were a younger Johnny listening that you'd want to hear, is there anything you think I've missed that you want to touch on?
I would just say that if you have an idea and you have a passion and drive for it, I'll just do it.
Just do it.
Yeah.
Nike need a sponsor you. All right. So one of my favorite questions is from actually, funny enough, from another podcast. It's called How I Built This. And his final question is, how much of your success do you put to hard work and how much to good luck?
Oh, that's a good question.
Great question.
That's a good question. Look, I don't think good luck comes without hard work. Because if you don't have anything, you're not just going to get luck. So it kind of works hand in hand.
Yeah.
Like for instance, when we opened up Melbourne, well, I put a lot of hard work into that, but we got lucky that COVID, the biggest lockdown in the world, happened at the exact same time. So it works hand in hand. But as I said, if you don't put the work in, you're not going to get the results. And a lot of results that we tend to get, you can't attribute them to luck, even though you can. So it's kind of, it depends.
It won't come, the luck won't come without hard work. Yeah.
So I think they work hand in hand.
Yeah, no, I love that. And Johnny, obviously I'm super grateful for your time. I know you're busy and I know a lot of people reach out to you, but your story's inspiring, your energy's inspiring. And I can't wait to see what's next.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.